Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bang on that drum. Yes, you do that. 1-800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. 71307. Jim Bohannon here. Filling in for Bob McLean for the rest of today before the great Bobster's magnificent return on Monday at 1063 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where we are delighted to have you as a part of our listening audience this afternoon. It gives us a warm and cuddly feeling, you know? And I like that. I like that. Regarding this money diverted by the border wall from the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Mark Esper says maybe European countries should consider funding projects in their countries. Yeah, pick up the tab. That's creative and probably constructive, but funny also. Yeah, Europe's going to give us a bailout. Absolutely. I thought Esper put it well to reporters. Part of the message will be, look, if you're really concerned, then maybe you should look to cover those projects for us because that's going to build infrastructure in many bases in your countries. Part of the message is burden sharing. Maybe pick up that tab. Well, part of the projects involved, of course, are in Europe, like $21.6 million for port operation facilities in Spain, $59 million for munitions storage in Slovakia, a few things like that. The defunded projects also include schools for the children of military personnel in Germany and in Britain. The fund diversion has, of course, been heavily criticized in this country. Incidentally, Secretary Esper will meet with his British and French counterparts in the forthcoming days. Of course, the president has long called on NATO countries to pay at least 2% of their gross domestic product for defense, which they agreed to do, but, gosh, you can't expect them to do what they agree to do. I mean, they all, I guess, want to be China and sign one thing and then do something else. Did you hear about the big court ruling? The terrorist watch list has been declared unconstitutional. Among those cheering are Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, the Democratic congresswoman from Michigan and Minnesota, respectively. Pretty landmark ruling, although it is not entirely clear of what will come next here. But nearly two dozen Muslim U.S. citizens won that victory in federal court in their suit against the FBI and other federal agencies over the use of the terror watch list. But it's not entirely clear what the consequences of the ruling will be. It came from U.S. District Judge Anthony Trenga in the Eastern District of Virginia. This was a suit brought with those particular Muslim Americans and CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Judge Trenga found that the government list of more than a million people identified as known or suspected terrorists is unconstitutional. The watch list is disseminated to a variety of government departments, foreign governments, and police agencies. Among the defendants named in the lawsuit, the heads of the Terrorist Screening Center, the FBI, the National Counterterrorism Center, the TSA, although the plaintiffs in the suit have not received any official notice that they were on a watch list, they said that they had inferred that they were on it because they were routinely subjected to additional screening when they fly on a commercial airplane and when they enter the United States at a land border or port. Some of the plaintiffs said they had previously been denied boarding on flights, though none maintained that they were currently on a no-fly list. In response, the government argued that the plaintiffs lacked standing because they could not show they would suffer immediate injury and because they had not exhausted administrative remedies for their complaints. Well, because the government did not dispute the factual contention that at least five plaintiffs were regularly subjected to extra screening, Judge Trenga said the case was ripe for resolution by summary judgment. That procedure allows courts to quickly dispense of cases where there's no significant factual dispute, which would require a lengthy trial, and where the plaintiff's entitled to a judgment as a matter of law. So Judge Trenga wrote, "The court concludes that the risk of erroneous deprivation of plaintiff's travel-related and reputational liberty interests is high, and the current existing procedural safeguards are not sufficient to address that risk." Now, the judge says he's seeking additional legal briefs before deciding what remedy to impose and wants both sides to explain what kind of remedy can be fashioned to adequately protect a citizen's constitutional rights while not unduly compromising public safety or national security. Well, that's nice that those are considerations for the judge. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. The plaintiffs say they were wrongly placed on the list and that the government process for adding names is overbroad and riddled with errors. The FBI declines comment on the ruling. In court, the FBI's lawyers argued that the difficulties suffered by the plaintiffs pale in comparison to the government's interests in combating terrorism. But I'm sure that there are many out there who feel that, hey, it not that big a deal. You know, not that big a deal. 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. It is a problem with how the list is put together or having a list at all. Should we have a terrorist watch list? Your thoughts on the Bobby Mack Show coming up. It's 5:15.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Afternoon, all. Thanks for being with us today. 521 at 1063 WORD, where we have Gilbert in Greenville calling in this afternoon. Hi, Gilbert.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Afternoon.
I just want to let you know, you mentioned the vice president speaking at the American Legion National Convention last week. Was there.
You were there,
Legion
really?
Member. I'm going outside because I talk too loud on the radio, but I've been around a long time. I remember Post 3 here in Greenville. I didn't know if you were a Legionnaire or not.
I am a Legionnaire and a VFW member and a member of the Vietnam Veterans of America. I'm life members of all three.
Well, you know, we have a chapter here in Greenville, Chapter 523 of Vietnam Veterans of America.
Interesting. I did not know that. Yeah.
They meet Wednesday at the Shrine Club, which is off of Rutherford Road.
Well, that's certainly worth pondering. I've got a pretty tight schedule, but I'll have to keep that in mind.
I know that.
Yeah.
Well, are you a member of the local American Legion here in South Carolina?
No, my membership is back in Missouri, where I grew up. But
you'd be surprised. Well, okay. Well, Post 3 in Greenville was formed in 1919. Uh-huh. A lot of posts were.
One of the original posts.
I'm
curious, since you said you heard Vice President Pence speak at the American Legion, and among other things, of course, he spoke about the fact that a Bible will stay in the place of honor at the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Manchester, New Hampshire. But what did you think of the Vice President's speech?
It was First class. He got in that afternoon. He was interviewed with the media. His wife met with the auxiliary there. But I tell you, he was to the point. He spoke for probably 40 minutes. I didn't time him. We had distinguished guest seats reserved, three rows. Well, about a half hour before he got there, some of the sergeant-at-arms came down and said, "We've got these seats we want to fill up. You know, we got live TV going out of here.
Right.
We don't like to have empty chairs."
Well, understandable. So you got the prime seats out of the whole thing. But you were. what was the reaction of the American Legion convention to the vice president?
I think, you know, he was well pleased. I haven't seen anything, and my wife said there's nothing on TV here in Greenville, but I didn't expect it to be. Until you mentioned it, nobody in Greenville knew about it except my buddy and I. We went, and so we represented. He's in a different post, post 214, which is a small post in Taylor's.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 7 years since I've been there,
right.
And so. But what I want to tell you, I was able to get some pictures and all, but I was impressed with him. But what I want to tell you about is we had a man, and I can't think of his name now, but he represents an organization that about 2 years ago, a group challenged us on our religious values. And it
concerns in particular, what was it you were doing that they were challenging you about?
Were you
displaying a Bible? You were displaying a cross. Go ahead.
You've heard of the Brandenburg Cross, right, in Washington?
I've heard about it. Yeah, I don't recall all about it, but I've heard the term.
They wanted it removed.
Right.
And so the American Legion was a sponsor along with this other group, and the first court, the lower court, ruled against us, so it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they ruled this past June. You can probably look it up online at your convenience. But the man kept saying last year at the convention in Minneapolis, that cross is not coming down. This time he said it a half a dozen times and got a standing ovation. This cross will never come down. Because, you know, in my opinion, if we had lost that, you've got not only the Christian cross, you've got the Catholic crucifix, you've got the cross of David.
Mm-hmm.
All those crosses on veterans that are buried at Arlington. They could probably force them to be torn down.
I don't doubt. I'm sure that there will be continued efforts, for example, to remove "In God We Trust" from the currency and that kind of thing. I have no doubt about that, Gilbert. I want to thank you for your service, for your listenership, and for your call.
I appreciate
it very much.
During the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
I'm looking forward to you subbing again, because I've called Bobby Mack several times. But anyway, I just want to know, there's a small post in Seneca if you wanted to go. It's I think it's post 120 downtown.
Well,
I think they meet on the, you know, veterans can go to any
post. I appreciate the various options, and I'll have to check my schedule, Gilbert. But thank you for your call, and again, thank you for your service. I do appreciate that very much. I know that, of course, it was back in June that the Supreme Court ruled that a 40-foot cross honoring soldiers who died in World War I could remain on Maryland state property in the D.C. suburbs of Maryland. The cross did not violate the First Amendment's ban on government establishment of religion. The seven justices in the majority embraced differing rationales. In fact, seven justices filed opinions in that case. Justice Samuel Alito wrote for five justices, said that the monument did not primarily convey a religious message, that the cross originated as a Christian symbol and retains that meaning in many contexts does not change the fact that the symbol took on an added secular meaning when used in war memorials. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg summarized her dissent from the bench. She said the monument was sent a message of favoritism and exclusion. Well, goodness knows we must show inclusivity, Ruthie. She wrote that the Latin cross is the foremost symbol of the Christian faith, embodying the central theological claim of Christianity, and so on, that the Latin cross is not emblematic of any other faith. Justice Sotomayor joined Ginsburg in their dissent. And, ladies, you lost, which is just fine with me. In fact, that's a trend that we should encourage, I think, both of you, since you're so terribly wrong on so many cases. This monument, known as the Peace Cross, sits at a busy intersection in Bladensburg, Maryland. That's right near the nation's capital. It commemorates 49 fallen soldiers from Prince George's County, built in 1925 using contributions from local families and from the American Legion, apropos of our call from Gil. The state took over the monument and the land in 1961, and the state has spent quite a bit of money to maintain and repair the memorial in question. But interesting. Yeah, I had not heard that the vice president had addressed that issue. I'd only heard that he had addressed the issue of the Bible on hand in the lobby of the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Manchester, New Hampshire. But it was a miracle I even heard about that, of course. You will not hear about such things as a general rule, and we all have a pretty good idea why you will not. This is Jim Bohannon for Bob McLean at 106.3, and we have now 529.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let us chat, shall we? Simple to do that at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. You can merely dial the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, and at 23 before 6, well, Colonel Ted has done so. Hey, Colonel.
Hello.
Is Colonel Ted with us?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the radio, sir. What's on your mind today?
Well, this is not roving military reporter stuff per se, but it does involve a weapon. I was in Cookeville, Tennessee yesterday or day before. I've lost track on my way to Denver for this reunion of the guys I served with in Vietnam. Anyway, when I travel, and Cookeville, Tennessee was a city that I'd heard about and pulled up on Wikipedia. And as I'm going into a sporting goods store, and I always look at notable people who have been born and raised in a town and then go on to do big things like Secretary of State or, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, in Cookeville, Tennessee, I came across the name of Byron Low-Tax Looper. Now, Low-Tax was his legal middle name.
Really?
Byron was quite a character, and apparently, here's the thing, Jim. You have to, because I don't have time to go into all the details, and I think you'd get a kick out of the story. Pull Byron Low-Tax Looper up on Wikipedia and see it for yourself.
How do you spell that last name?
Looper, L-O-O-P-E-R.
Wow, okay.
Byron, low tax. Well, Byron was a Democrat originally and then switched to Republican, like lots of the guys in the Southeast have done. But he ended his career in prison for murder. He managed to shoot and kill his primary opponent as a way of achieving the office that he didn't think he was going to win if he did it the normal way.
And well, that's not the preferred method. Assassination is usually pretty down on the list of priorities, but...
Well, I know, and when I first read this, it said he was a Republican, and I thought, well, that's something I think more along the lines of what a Democrat would do. Well, I read more into the story, and he had been a Democrat. Anyway, it was so hysterically funny. I went to the sporting goods store laughing, and it turned out that the desk clerk, they had found the murder weapon virtually in his front yard. So this is not a big town. Everybody knows everybody. And I tell you, I every time I think about this for the last couple of days, I have been laughing. And but it's even more, I mean, this guy's, well, he died in prison at age 48. I mean, this guy lived an interesting life for the short time he was on this earth. And some of the other details of his political career and stuff are almost equally as funny. But, well, murder's not funny.
No, actually. It's not a real knee slapper, honestly, Colonel. Well, anyway, I thank you for sharing that. I did look it up. Born Byron Anthony Looper in Cookeville, Tennessee. And he did have his name legally changed, the middle name, from Anthony to low tax. And as it turned out, of course, wound up in prison. But, hey, nobody's perfect, right? That's how I feel about
it.
That's all right. Thanks thanks much. I appreciate Colonel Ted for sharing that that story with us. 1-866-50-JIMBO, our number. Pardon me, 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line number. Don't use that other number. 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, that's 71307, 71307. And delightful that you could join us today. You know, I was just going over, we're thinking about, of course, a little bit about Biden. And Biden's 76, by the way. And if he were to be elected to two terms, let's say Biden was elected to two terms, okay? That means that he would be 87 when he left office. We have never been in that rarefied territory, ever. Reagan, of course, was the oldest president for a while. But if Biden was elected, he would be the oldest person ever to occupy the Oval Office, older than Ronald Reagan at the end of his second four-year term. And for a second Biden term, which I know is kind of scary, but stay with me here, he would be... he would be 86, I guess it would be. I stand corrected. He would be 86. And that is uncharted territory. Bernie Sanders, he would be 88 if he were elected to two terms. Even Elizabeth Warren is no spring chicken. She would be 79, I guess. Yeah, 79 if she were elected to two terms. And so I think a fair question to pose, and I'll pose it, do we need to think about a constitutional amendment that not only restricts presidents to two terms, but also an age limit? And while we're talking about age limits, should there be an upper age limit for the Congress, the House, the Senate, for the Supreme Court? I mean, currently, of course, you have to be 25 to serve in the House, you have to be 30 to serve in the Senate, you have to be 35 to serve as president. There's no minimum age for the Supreme Court, and there's no maximum age for any of these. And we've never really pushed these limits before, but now we're beginning to. So I'll just say it, and I speak as a senior citizen, all right? Is it time we thought about this? I mean, again, I don't mean to pick on poor old Joe, but the bleeding eye thing and the gaffes after he has become aware of this and is trying his best not to. Trust me, he knows that every time he makes a gaffe, that it makes him look bad. He wants to be president, so he's focusing. It's not like he's not focusing. He's focusing really, really hard. Well, if you can't focus hard in the campaign, then how much focus would you be able to bring to a major summit meeting or some kind of major military crisis? And I'm not just picking on Joe. There are others out there. And I'm just wondering, is it time to think about that? Seriously. An upper age limit. There's no age limit at all now, bottom or top, for the Supreme Court. We have lower age limits for the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Should we go further than that? 1-800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Tell me more. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 15 till 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Okie dokie, if you prefer, 10 minutes before 6 o'clock at 1063 WORD. 1063 WORD, and of course, 1063WORD.com, after all. We're out there online, and you ought to take advantage of that. And I had noted the ages of a few folks. This has been brought about by Joe Biden, of course, and his gaffes and the blood in the eye. Not just to pick on Joe, but for the record, he is 76. If he were elected to two full terms, he would leave office at 86. We have never had a president that old. Bernie Sanders would be even older. He is 78, and he would be 88 at the end of two terms. Elizabeth Warren, who, by contrast, is a virtual kid, still, she would be 79. And we've never had a president that old either, if she were to sort of serve two terms. So the question is simply, should we have an upper age limit, and not just for the presidency, for the House, for the Supreme Court, for other federal judgeships, this sort of thing? Just a thought. I'm not sure it would be constitutional, and I'm not sure, frankly, that it would be beneficial. But it's worth talking about, because we talk about what people are talking about, and this has occurred to more than a few people. So, for what it's worth. One texter here says the upper age limit should be 65, in my opinion. If you turn 65 while in office, then you may serve out your term but not seek re-election. Okay. I can think of any number of people, who, of course, who are, in fact, quite focused and with it, if you will, at age 65. But, again, since people are thinking about it, let's think some more about it here. Another texter says, I agree the rest of us peasants have to retire at around the relatively young age of 67. Why are our leaders allowed to continue to work indefinitely and become rich off of us? Well, the rich part aside, which is not a part of the discussion, but the why, of course, is that the very people who are getting old are the very ones who have the power to determine this. So you're talking about people who would have a disproportionate say-so on whether or not they would be kicked out the door. If you and I are kicked out the door, we, of course, have nothing to say about that. There are mandatory retirement regulations, of course, in effect. There are no laws that I know of, but companies have policies. The military, I'm pretty sure, has policies beyond which, although if you're high enough in the military, I don't think those policies apply. So, 65, okay. That's one thought that was put forward. I'm wondering about other limitations you would put on federal service. Should you have to, this is pretty off the wall, but should you have to pass an IQ test? Obviously, that would never stand congressional or constitutional muster. And, of course, keep in mind, too, that any kind of age limit that you put in would have to be put in the Constitution. It would have to come by way of constitutional amendment. This is not a statutory kind of thing. The requirements for serving in the House, the Senate, the presidency, the Supreme Court are all spelled out in the Constitution. So this would not be just something that was whipped up in Congress and passed through. This would be something that would have to be via a constitutional amendment. Obviously, any restrictions on the upper age of members of Congress, they would not vote for that, okay? You would not get a constitutional amendment started that way. You'd be back to your Article 5 constitutional convention to address that. So, let's see here. I don't know about a specific age limit, says this texter, but I do know that if Ruth Bader Ginsburg were a Republican, the Democrats would be rioting in the streets. Probably they would mention her age, and again, it's her health that is a problem for Ginsburg. I don't think anybody is accusing her, for example, of the kind of gaffes that Joe Biden has made. She's just old, and her body is wearing out. And as I say before, you can admire her spirit. She has a personal trainer and all the rest of that. But if a Democrat gets elected in 2020, I'll guarantee you by the end of January 2021, she will have submitted her resignation. She's hanging on, praying that Donald Trump doesn't get to pick her replacement. Oh, great text. How old would that make Warren in moons? Ah, mini moon come. President Warren. Yeah, you get it. 5 minutes now before 6 o'clock. Good question here. Let's see here. Bernie Sanders is a young millennial. One is as bad as the other. In some regards, that's true. And in all fairness, I have not seen anything out of Bernie that would indicate that he's losing, unless you want to count that time he spent with the speed bag and the bag punched him in the face. That was kind of funny. But hey, could happen to any of us, okay? I haven't hit a speed bag in a long time, so I wouldn't even want to think about that. Okay. You don't decide the subject of what we speak, especially on Friday. No, but I certainly point us in directions, so there you go. But if you want to speak about something else, feel free, okay? 1-800-347-1063, our Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307-71307. As long as we keep nominating or at least considering people of advanced age, it's a subject that's going to come up. There are various things, of course, in which age limits kick in. Past a certain age, for example, you have to be tested more often to get a driver's license renewed, this sort of thing. It is not something that is out of the, quote, question, unquote. Now, I'll grant you that in terms of jobs, at a time when a lot of people don't trust the economy, and I'm right at the top of the list, I don't trust the economy, and I'm not inclined to just wander off into the distance and let some young whippersnapper talk show host come in and take my place. I would be personally opposed to the notion of limits on how long I could work. I'm lucky in that I don't believe anybody's going to do that to me. I've reached the point where I'm pretty sure that they're going to decide, like, you know, Jim, you lost it. And they will move accordingly, but it won't be because of what a digit that flips over on my calendrical odometer says. All right, 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line. If you're really old and you need help, well, you can get somebody to help you dial that. Oh, cheap shot. Jimbo for Bobby Mack. I might add the very youthful Bobby Mack. And we have now at 1063 WORD, 3 minutes before 6 p.m.
T.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.